And so I was there, and I was trying to get things ready for her to come. And I'd rented this apartment, but then they had a big fire. It burned all the way up the fire escape. That was where it was, and because that was the only wooden thing in there. And all the floors, 9 floors. And my apartment wasn't burned, but the doorbell melted and all that, and we had smoke. Everything was covered in smoke in the apartment. And so one of the first memories I have there was a group of college students came over on their day off. Well, it was a holiday or something, and they came over and they literally cleaned all the walls, the floors, the ceiling, everything in the apartment, because they wanted it to be ready for my wife when she came. So I got some food to feed them, and they told me how to bribe the electrician, and so we got electricity. And so I put a film in for them to watch a movie, and they're all watching the movie after we'd gotten something to eat and everything. And I look around, and I didn't see Ira, who is Timur's wife, and I found her. She was in cleaning the toilet. Okay. And so that's the kind of people they are. They were great servants, and I will always remember that. It was very powerful. Timur was 20 years old when I met him, a college student, and Ira was a college student. But they were not even dating at that time when I first got there. Since then, they've dated, got married, have 5 children. I'd like to have all the rest of them. Timur, you'll see, but I'd like to have the rest of the family stand up. Ira and all the kids, let's give them a hand. Okay, we're delighted to have them here. I'm not sure who's more delighted, us or them, but we're glad that they're here. Timur and Ira have been here before, but their children have not had that opportunity. I hope you get to know them and get to meet them. Timur, we identified Timur had a great heart for God. And we saw that immediately. We also saw that he had talent. And we chose a number of young men who had a heart, seemed to have a heart for God and also talent, and we invested in that. And early on, I saw that in order for them to grow, I had always been doing the preaching, but I decided that it would be wise if I let them preach to learn how. And so I let them start preaching, and there were 3 or 4 of them, and so they would preach. And all the older people came to me and said, we want you to preach. These guys don't know anything. Okay? And I thought, well, yeah, but I was young once, and I didn't know anything either. Okay? But people gave me a chance. And we persevered with that and let them speak, and they grew. And now all those older people are saying, oh, they do such a wonderful job. They're so thankful for them. And what's great, Timur and I have been friends for all that time. And I had a chance to take he and Ira and a bunch of others on campaigns to different cities on mission trips. And trying to train them and work with them. And now the student has surpassed his teacher. And that's always great when your children do better than you can. And so I'm looking forward, and I'm thankful. And Timur, come on up, and we'll have a prayer, and then we'll let Timur speak. Our kind Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day and this opportunity, and I'm so thankful that we could be here and that Timur can be here to share. And I pray that you'll just bless him as he shares from his heart, and help us to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. He talked about surpassing. The only thing I thought is the height. But I'm catching on the gray hair. And when Jim was telling his story about the apartment and the cleaning, he didn't tell that, I mean, we came to clean, but the first thing we cleaned up is his refrigerator with food. So, and guess what? When Ira was cleaning the toilets, I was still at the refrigerator, I guess. Okay. Well, I want to start with the phrase, the Russians have come. But don't worry, it's just for a week or so. And technically, we're not Russians, we're Tatar. Some of us are Moldovians. But in Russia, when you say Tatar, the stereotype is there is a Tatar-Mongol captivity that was over Russia. So if you say Tatar has come, it's pretty much the same phrase. So not only Russians has come, Tatar has come. So that's kind of a race to the second power. I don't know what's going to get out of it. But anyway, greetings to you from Tomsk, Siberia. And we brought some nice weather. You said, who was it? John said this morning that it's been special Independence Day weather for you. I think we had some influence. Okay. Well, thank you for all the kind words. And I want to share something today. Hopefully, I will be able to do it in English, because still it's not my native language, and I'm kind of worried. But when we came to Huntsville, I noticed a lot of flags on the buildings. And last night I noticed it was not a silent night and not a peaceful night. I mean, here and there, it's like boom, kaboom. Something's going on. And when we were visiting with Janice and William, amazing couple, yesterday, I went to the bathroom and I saw in the mirror there was this Declaration of Independence quote there. And I even tried to read it, and all I remember is that everyone has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So Independence Day is a great day. I mean, we cannot fully relate to this day with you, but we had our independence holidays too, which are connected to different things. But so I'm happy that I get a chance to talk to you on this special day. And that made me thinking about some things, and I want to share that with you. And the first thing, the first thought I had in mind was about, you know, this balance of dependence and independence. Because when you think about it, you kind of start with dependence. Usually as a baby, you're totally dependent on your mom, hopefully on your dad too. And then you grow up and you do the first step, the first sit up, you know, roll over, sit up, start crawling, walking, so becoming more independent. And the first parents are happy about it, then they're kind of worried because this independent child starts getting into places. And you have to watch out. And so this seems to be like a natural process to start from dependence and kind of go towards independence. And this is true not only of human beings, but societies and nations. So people try to kind of go from dependence to this independence. And this is kind of immaturity and maturity, you know, state, where you can provide for yourself, when you can, you know, have enough money for food, for home, for car, and everything, and you're kind of independent. And so as I was thinking about it, I began to reflect on my own life, and I remember this feeling of a teenager who's thinking, okay, I know more than my parents do because I learned something new in school, and probably my mom and dad don't know that. And then you start feeling like, I want to be independent. I want to do things on my own. And as you grow, I went to the university, I graduated, and I started my job, and I'm like, oh wow, I'm independent. But then I thought about it and I realized that I was so independent that I felt like I'm missing something. And then I met my wife. And like Jim said, when Jim just came, she was cleaning the toilets, I was cleaning the refrigerator. in his apartment. and so, but then we kind of met each other on some emotional level, and we couldn't part since then. And so my independence became like a doorway to a new kind of to a new life. So when I call my wife, just for a minute, can you come? as she's going, I felt like the independence that I was striving for is not the end. And then she came into my life. She remembers that day. I don't remember the day when we first met, but it's good to have her because now I'm so dependent on her to remember things, right? And to remember them at the day you should remember. Okay, and so I'm so happy that my independence turned into a new dependence. And this is great. And when we began to grow in a relationship with each other, we got married, and then we became so independent. We learned how to conflict and not part ways for 2 days and not to be quiet. We learned to go through things in life, and we again learned independence as a couple. But then we realized that something missing too. And so I want to call my children for a minute, all of them at once, because we don't have much time. And as they come, then we had Karina. And then you realize then you start missing the independence. And you think, oh, we had those nights where we could go date and do things. And then these come along. And you kind of, but it takes you on a new level. And again, you start the process of growing from that dependence to the independence of a new kind. They're growing, they're learning their independence, and we're going from dependence to independence. Sometimes we feel like, oh, when will this day come when we just two of us will be again together? And then there says, watch out, there will be grandchildren. So, okay. So this is another chance to see my family. I love them very much, and I will not. I promise not to ask them any questions. So I'll let them go, and I'll finish without them. But anyways, I was still reflecting on dependence, independence. Another thought came to me. I'm teaching finance in the university. And as I teach students personal finance, I teach them, you know, guys, we all start with financial dependence, and then we kind of take a step further. We try to be financially stable, which means we can manage our pocket money and plus the money that parents give us, and kind of in a good way, all right? And then we grow up, and probably because of the loans and debts, we try to be stable, which means you pay all your debts in a due time. And then if you kind of go along, I said, then you can get to financial independence, which is you're free of debt. You kind of, all you have is yours. You don't owe anything to anybody, and that's great. But say, many people stop here. They strive from dependence to independence, and they kind of freeze there. But there is more to life. And as I think about it, I realize that there is another word, which is much, much greater word that we often forget about. And this word is interdependence. Dependence, independence, and interdependence. And the more I thought about it, I realized that in the financial language, it's called financial care. When you're so independent, you start caring about others. You start thinking not about just your life, just your family. You start thinking about people around you. So starting from financial dependence, when somebody was helping you, you need to get to financial care. And students, they're like, wow, that's a great idea. I need to write it down. And I like that. I like to provide this paradigm of financial care instead of just financial independence. But I think same true in the spiritual world. If you think about it, God didn't take us from financial dependence and give us freedom in Christ so that we would stop there. He gave us church as a family where we should learn interdependence. And this is the thing that kind of stuck with me. And I realized that this is the context of my life of the recent month or so. And I was preaching about it in our church. I always go back to Ephesians. And if you, I didn't put it on the slides, but I still want to share that in Ephesians 4, there is this passage. And when I read this passage, I usually think of Jim because he liked to quote that passage. Paul in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, he talks about himself as a prisoner for Christ. And then he says, can I urge you, or something of that kind. I remember that in Russian, but I'll paraphrase into English. It says, I urge you to live worthy of your calling. And then he says, just be humble, submit to one another, keep the unity of peace. And then he talks about oneness, one body, you know, one faith, one baptism, and we all share this oneness. And then he starts talking about the God's purpose for the church, where he says that he put some people as apostles, prophets, the teachers, and everybody else for one purpose. And I hear Jim's voice in my head, to prepare God's people for good works. Right, Jim? Is that your voice? Okay. So, to prepare God's people for good work until we mature in Christ. And so you get this picture of maturity in Christ where all people have these professional specialties in God's Holy Spirit's given gifts, and they specialize, and God kind of gives everybody a gift for the common good. And I start seeing this interdependence. I depend on the way I look today totally depends on my wife. I mean, you should see me preparing for the sermon this morning. I mean, I want to show up here in that kind of clothes. She is providing for me when I can do something else. And so, and this is, to me, it's a very encouraging thought. Interdependence. It's what the church is about. And independence in Christ is a great thing. But interdependence is a much greater thing that takes you to the whole new level, okay? And and my favorite verse in Ephesians is Ephesians 4:16, where it says that, in fact, I wrote it down in my notes. It says, from him the whole body joined and held together, but every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does it work. And so this is my favorite verse, because here I see what this supporting ligaments in Russian Bible, it says interconnected ligaments. That's why I like this word, because we're all interconnected, like in the body. You know, one hand feels what the other hand is doing. You know, it's all interconnected. And that's how it works. So although heart may be very strong and independent by all this muscle power, but it's still interdependent with the body to provide blood for the whole body. And all the legs and the arms and everything, it's all interconnected. And so that was encouraging to me to think about it. And also I thought about, this is another thought close to the one that I've shared. There are two words, interdependence and codependence. And codependence doesn't usually have the good context. Usually it's when, you know, there is a family of alcoholics, like, for example, our foster daughter came from that background. And the husband and wife can be codependent, children and parents and people can be codependent. And I thought, what's the difference between interdependence and codependence? And I thought that usually the codependence is based on fear and egoism. because you want to get something out of it. And you're codependent. Okay, you suffer the bad things in a relationship because of the egoism and self-love, because you want to get something out of that relationship. But the interdependence, it's not based on fear. It is based on love and sacrifice and care and giving. It's outpouring of yourself. And that's what makes codependence turn into interdependence. And so I thought, that's what God's purpose for the church is. Okay, we're interconnected, but the way we provide for self, it's like in that parable about heaven and hell with long spoons, which all of us know. It's about giving. It's not about taking. We're interconnected, and the interdependence is based on love and care. So this encourages me to think about these things as a church, as a person, and to apply it to the church. And when I think about the practicals of interdependence, I mean, I have so many examples just from the last 2 or 3 days. Well, basically, the time we came to the United States, I just experienced that. I mean, this interdependence shown in, okay, where can we take you? Are you hungry? And, don't worry, we'll do the dishes ourselves. And so there's so much of affection. I was talking to Grant during the break. I met him for the first time. And he asked the question, are Russian people more affectionate than Americans? I said, I don't know. I just experienced so much affection here and so much care just poured out upon us. Our schedule is filling up very quickly because everybody wants to see us and take us places and care for us. It's amazing. Thank you for being so interdependent with us. Hopefully we can give something to you in return. But even if we can't, we still know that God will bless the giver. Okay, so thank you guys. Another thought on the practical things, and I'll be closing. About 2 months ago, David Nance and Rodney, I think, they put together some video of greetings from the Central family to Tomsk. Thank you guys. It had such an effect. But I need to confess, you sent it in May. I was able to put it together because it needed translation only in June, and it was shown like last Sunday. We showed it in our church online. And it produced so much joy that people say, hey, we need to do something in return. And so people were sending me videos, and those who managed to do it by Saturday, I said, I'll be putting it together on Saturday so that the church can see. And so, and in Russia, people are not usually watching time so closely. So there may be even three or four more videos now in my mailbox, but we cannot include them. But I want to show you greetings in return. And if it's possible, can we show it, please? Thank you for your greetings, and thank you that you pray for us. See you later. Hello. Greetings to Huntsville from Tomsk. Thank you for your greetings. It is very precious to us that you pray for us and you bless us. In return, we want to send greetings and say that your words are very precious and are very warm to our hearts. Greetings to you and welcome to Tomsk. Dear friends, hello. My name is Igor, and I want to thank you for your support for our church and for our ministers, the Denisovs and their Denisovs family. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your greetings. It was really precious to hear the greetings from you. Hello, our dear friends. Thank you for your support for our congregation and our ministers. I was really glad to hear from you. Thank you, and see you, friends.
Hello, church in Huntsville. Нас очень обрадовало, что вы записали для нас какие-то видео.
We got so happy to see the video message from you.
Oh, it stopped. That's part one. So probably somebody needs to get into those videos later. So anyway, well, okay. Interdependence is a great value for the church. When it's based on love and sacrifice and care, I think this is, according to what Paul says in Ephesians 4:16, this is how body grows. These interdependent connections, the body grows, builds itself up because of love when each part does its work. And so this is the encouraging thought for me, which I wanted to share with you. And today is the Independence Day, but I think God took the church further to celebrate the Interdependence Day as well. And I want this to be kind of the highlight, the interdependence in Christ, which we can celebrate in worship, we can celebrate it in communion, we can celebrate it in prayer, we can celebrate it in Bible study, and we can celebrate it in fellowship. So this is what I want to say. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the church in Huntsville. Thank you for the brothers and sisters. Thank you for everyone that we know and maybe we don't know yet, but we'll know soon. Thank you for being so good to us through this church. Also, thank you for being so good at all times to all people. I thank you for the interdependence in Christ that we may enjoy as a body. And I pray that all of our strive from dependence to independence will not stop there, that we will continue to grow into the interdependence. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.